Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom up to the last daf today. Very exciting, as always. Encouraged. I think it should be something that's very much celebrated. You should make a big seder, make a big party, make a barbecue, invite your friends. It's covered with Torah. It increases the love of Torah for everybody else. It shows other people they want to enjoy and be part of the seder, and they want to learn also. And if a person has a friend, someone who hasn't been doing the daf yomi, encourage them. A new masechta, Rosh Hashanah, Be'ez Hashem, starting tomorrow. Very, very exciting. And we're in a string of a shorter masechta, so it's a little bit easier to get into. You feel accomplished, you have a new masechta, and you finish each time. It's very, very exciting. So now we're up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is just going to continue the previous halachas that a person's property is not allowed to be taken beyond the tchum. So the Mishnah is going to tell you it's different halachas of that applications, that halachas. And where does Mishael Perosa Bir Acheres? If someone's produce was in another town, now, at the beginning of Yom Tov, the produce is in a town, is further than the tchum of where you are. So if you put an air of tchum in the middle, then you'll be able to connect yourself with your produce. But if you don't, so what happened over here in the Mishnah? So other people of the town placed an air of tchum in order to bring some of his produce to him. So, but he didn't make that air of lo yavu lo. So they are not allowed to bring his produce to him. Since the owner, you didn't do this, you're not the one who extended your tchum by putting the air of over there, only they did it for you. So therefore, they're allowed to go, but your produce follows not them, it follows the fact that you were further than them, and therefore the beginning of Yom Tov you're not allowed to move it. And it's the halacha would even follow that it's like the case of a person who leaves your tchum and move it more far, it's not allowed to move it at all. So therefore you cannot move these produce whatsoever. You're not allowed to move them at all. V'im Erev, however, if you did place an Erev that would extend your tchum to that town, Perosav Kamoa, the Peros will be like yourself, and therefore it has the same tchum as you, and the produce can be within, you can bring them, and also people of the town who placed an Erev would also be allowed to be extended and bring it to you as well. Both halachas you can make on the other people as well. Once I make an Erev, because it's considered it's in the same domain as me, and if they have the heter to bring it, so then it's like me, then I'd be allowed to walk with them, so to my parents can walk with them, they're allowed to bring it to me. Now, turning on to the next of Memor Aleph, Misha Zeman Esla Orchem, if someone invited guests from out of town to him on Yom Tov, and these guests live beyond the Tchum, so therefore they're coming, they're making the Erev Tchum and allowed to come to them. They're not allowed to take the portions of the food that you gave them back with them after their meal, because at the end of the day, the food has the Tchum of me. I'm the host. Let's say I'm hosting Reuven and Shimon, so my food is only allowed to go as far as I'm allowed to go. So if I didn't make a Tchum to be able to go to their city, so therefore I cannot extend myself and go to that city. So to my food either cannot go to that city, and therefore they're not allowed to bring back my food. However, there is a way that if I know that I want to be able to give them leftovers and they're going to enjoy it and go back to their city anyway on Yom Tov, so what I can do is what's called the Zechiyah. This is the concept of Zachin Ladam Shalom B'fanav. A person can do something beneficial to someone else, even without his knowledge, even if he's not there, if he knows that he would want to do it. That's a whole shayla, just a Maseches Gittin, it's a very geshmak. There's a lot of applications to this halacha, whatever. This is a very nice idea. So Be'etzem, Reuven gives it to Shimon, and Shimon will accept it on behalf of Levi. And now Levi is that's going to be recorded as if the produce is Mamish Levi's before Diyantah. So if that's the case, and they had a Tchum, and they made it set up an Erev Tchumen, so then it would be no problem to then take it back with them, and then they would be able to take it back to their homes after on Yom Tov itself, after the meal. So now the Gemara has machlokas. Itmar, amafkid peros etzel chaviro. If someone puts produce with a friend to watch it over for him, Rav amar kiragle mishev kidol. So the tchum is going to follow the one who is watching it over, even though he's not the actual owner. That's the opinion of Rav. Ushmul omar kiragle amafkid. No, it's the one who's giving it, the one who's depositing it, who's the actual owner. So again, if I'm giving you over something to watch, and you're going to be the mafkid, you're watching it over, the shayla, fundamental shayla, is who is now considered the watching over the produce for the tchum purposes. Is it still it's the owner's, because it's still his right now? Or no, the one who's watching over is considered, all intents and purposes, is in the is in possession of it for the halachas of tchum. And so the Gemara suggests, lema Rav Ushmul da'azul tamaya. Maybe Rav and Shmul are actually following their opinions as expressed and a different Mishnah. This is not what we learn in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is above a comma. It's talking about a case where a person brought an animal to property into someone else's yard, and the Mishnah says, if I brought a permission from the owner, then the yard owner is going to be chayav if any damage has happened to my animal. So even in this case, the owner didn't explicitly accept the obligation to guard the property, since the Tanakhama is holding that the fact that you're allowing the property in, that's assuming the responsibility to guard it. The guarded property, therefore, is going to be the owner's, and he's going to be liable, he's going to be chayav for any of the damages that occur. So that's the first opinion. Rabbi Omer Rabbi says, the olam eno chayav achikibala balabayas lishmorno. Unless he explicitly accepts the fact that he's going to take responsibility over this animal, then he would not be chayav for anything that happens. So now, how do we pass it in this case? That's a machlokas, Rav Shmuel. That's what we want to say. Rav Ravuna Amar Rav. Rav Huna Sender of Rav. Halacha gedivrei chachamim. The halacha follows the chachamim. Ushmuel Amar halacha kerebi. And Shmuel says the halacha follows the opinion of Rebbe. So the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe this would be the same machlokas by us. Lema Rav Damar Karbanan. We're going to assume that Rav is who holds the case of the Tchum is going after the Mafkid is going to be the opinion of the Rabban and the Tana Kama and Vavakama. Shmuel Damar Karabi and Shmuel, who rule that the Tchum is going to be that of the owner, is going to be the opinion of Rebbe and Vavakama. And how does that play out? So Rashi just fleshes this out, that the case in Vavakama, the question is what degree of what case of ownership is going to be assumed by the person who's accepting the item coming in. The Tana Kama holds that even when nothing is specified, the person who's allowing coming in has total jurisdiction over it. Rebbe holds a no. You have to say exactly what's going on. So when it comes to lachas of tchumin, so then Rav, who follows Rabban, he's going to hold that the person was watching over the mafkid, he assumed to be assigned the total jurisdiction over the item, and therefore he's going to be chayav for damages, and therefore he's also going to be shayav to the tchum. The tchum is going to follow him. However, Shmuel understands that no, that he's only accepting exactly what's specified to him to watch it over. So therefore, even though he's intending to watch it over, still more than that, to the greater degree of the restriction to pay, make him pay for damages and other things like that, that would be not necessarily part of it, and therefore the tchum also would also go only as far as to assume that the tchum should go after the owner. So the Gemara says no, that you don't have to explain these two machlokzim as following one another. Amar l'charal, because Rav could argue on a damrei afilu the Rebbe. I can argue even according to Rebbe. Ad kan lo kamar Rebbe hasam ela devistam aloki b'alai netrusa, because Rebbe is going to say when the case of Bavakama, when a guy is hosting a guy and his animal comes in, he didn't accept the fact that the animal is coming in, all the damage is going to happen to the animal. Avahacha haki b'alai netrusa, but when I'm watching over something, you give it to me or mafkid it by me, so then clearly I'm agreeing to guard it for you. So therefore, Rebbe would agree that it would be given the person who's watching it over is tchum, because he is responsibility over it, and therefore, since he has obligation to watch it over, therefore, it's going to be following his tchum as well. Shmuel Amar, Ana Damrei Afilu Rabbanan. No, even the Rabbanan would agree with me in Bavakama. Ad Kalokam Rabbanan Hasam Ela Denichle Denish Denikum Netrus Birshusay Debal Chatzer. That in that case of the case Bavakama, that a person wants his ox should be in the owner's jurisdiction. Di Mazikle Lo Mechayev, because the ox is damaging, he knows bringing it in, that he's not one responsible. So the Rabbanan hold when you're allowing him into the possession, he's agreeing to watch it over. Therefore, the owner of the ox is agreeing that the ox is considered part of the owner of the yard, the person, the obligation of the chatzar, but his chatzar is his ownership. Aval hacha, but in the case of the tchum, minichel inish delikum pere b'rshus dechavei. Does the person really want his produce to be in a different jurisdiction for the tchum purposes? L'chorei doesn't. The person who is giving it over would like to retain the produce as his own tchum, so therefore, when he gives it over, at the end of the day, the rabbanim would agree that the produce is going to be the tchum of the person, of the owner, and not that of the person watching it over. So the Gemara has rejected, assuming that the Rav and Shmuel are have to follow those sheetahs above a kama. So now the Gemara just wants to point out, l'chor, our Mishnah is a problem according to Rav. It's not because we learn our Mishnah. V'im erav hu pirosav kamo. But if the owner makes an erav, his produce is going to be treated like himself. It's going to be his tchum. So the Gemara wants to analyze and say that the l'chor this is against Rav, because iam rat karagle mishav have to go etzel. So if you assume that the produce is a tchum like the person whom it was given over to, so ki erav hu my havis. So then when the owner has placed the erev that it accomplished in regard to the produce, what happens over here? The tchum of the produce is still going to be the one guarding it. Nevertheless, our Mishnah says the tchum of the owner, lechora, this is lechora beferish against Rav. So the Gemara says, Amar Avuna Amrei Be Rav. So they say the name of Rav. Kagon Shiyicha Lo Karen Zavis. The Mishnah talks about a case where the person watching it over was assigned specifically. He assigned the owner a specific corner of the house for storing the produce. Therefore, he doesn't have necessarily the same token, because when a person assigns a place for in his home for the storing it over there, he's basically lending him that place to him, and therefore it's viewed as mamish the owner's in the domain of the person watching it over for him. That case would be different. Since the person accepting the deposit into the home is not accepting responsibility for it, Rav would agree that it's going to be still it's going to be the depositors in that case. In that case, Rav would agree the produce is going to come of the person putting it over, the one who's depositing it. So Gemara says Tashma. So before we can make another ayah from the Mishnah, Misha Zimin Etzel Orchem. If you invite a guest to come to Yon Yontov, Lo Yelucho Biad Manos, they shouldn't bring back the food with them. Ella Imkein Zachle Manos Emer Rav Yontov, unless you do a zechia against and you transfer ownership on their behalf before Yontov starts. So Misha's understanding that the host transfers the ownership of the portion to the guest, they are permitted to take them home on Yontov. So Gemara says, why would that be though? According to Rav Yamar to Karag LeMishkev Etzel. But if you assume that the produce is going to be the tchum and the one whom it was given over to, kizika lehem ayde acher may have it. But when someone else, the guy gives it through a zachin, he does this concept of zachin and he gives it over to them, what's the difference? Since the portion remained in the possession of the owner himself, so therefore they should retain the tchum according to Rav of the owner. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara is assuming at this point that once a person acquires portions on behalf of the guest, he's assuming that he's waiting for the guest to come on only when they come in at that time, Rashi points out. So meaning at the time the guy is guarding it, then that's going to be the shayla over here. The Mishnah's ruling, which is telling us that the guest tchum is proving that the property is going to be the tchum of lechora of the person owning it. Lechora, this is against Rav. So the Gemara says, no. Ha'chadnami kevan shezika lehem ayde achar. Since over here the guy transferred ownership by means of another person, so then that's similar to the case where he assigned the guest a specific corner of his house. In that case, again, we pointed out already before that Rav would agree, if he specified a specific case before, that everyone would agree would be like the owner. So the Gemara says, or you could say a different answer, Zika Shiny, the case of someone who's transferring ownership is different than an ordinary case of someone watching over something, because the only reason the person gave over the ownership was so that they'd be given the tchum rather than his. So therefore, it's unreasonable to assume that the person wants to accept to not give them over tchum, and that's the whole purpose of what he's doing. So clearly, wants to give over the tchum to them. Okay, so we've answered for Rav. So the Gemara now says, Rav Chana bar Chilnai toz bisrei ba'av the dash. Gemara, it's a story. The Rav Chana, he had meat on his door bolt of where he was in the beginning of Yom Tov. So now the Gemara is assuming right now that he was visiting a nearby town where the local butchers were giving meat at the beginning of Yom Tov. Even though he put his tchum outside of his hometown, he had placed the Erev, which enabled him to return him on Yom Tov. So Rav Chana had received the meat, the Miri points out, he received the meat on before Yom Tov, and he put it in his place that he was, and then he returned to the place where he was after the beginning of Yom Tov, and he wanted to bring the meat back to the town by where his heir of Tchumen was. So he asked, he had the question before Ravuna, whether he's permitted to take the meat back with him on Yom Tov. Again, he wanted to know whether the meat had been with his Tchum for Yom Tov. Since the Tchum are established at the beginning of Yom Tov, he asked Ravuna whether or not it entered his jurisdiction on Yom Tov or not. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Ravina told him, I'at talis zil shakil. If you hung it on the door bolt, then you could take it home. If your guest put it for you, then you're not be allowed to take it home. So Rashi can point out what's the difference. The Gemara is going to mention it right now. The Gemara says, so now, if Rav Chana said that the guest, if Rav Chana had been the one who hung it, why would it be, according to Rav Huna, why would it be mutter though? We know that Rav Huna was the Talmud of Rav, and what did Rav say in that case where you hung it? The property of the Tchum is like the one whom it has been entrusted to. So then how could Rav Huna permit Rav Chana to take the home in the meat that he had hung it, even though, because the other people were watching it over. And since they're watching it over, and then they were accepting the responsibility of the meat when he was watching it over them. And therefore, even if he had hung, if I hung it, it doesn't matter. If I left, according to Rav Lechora, it should follow that it would still follow the people the hosts, and not the person whose meat it was. So Lechora, this is a problem according to Rav Huna. If he follows Rav, why would this be mutter? So Gemara says, Shiny Avad Dasha, so the case of Rav Chanila is fundamentally different, where the door bolt is different, because the Kimishi Yichilu Keren Zavis, I mean, that's an example where Rav was agree, because it's similar to a case where you're specifying a corner. When you hung it on the host's door, therefore you didn't accept responsibility for the safekeeping, you're just putting it there, you're loaning that spot to him, and therefore it's not considered responsibility of the owner, and therefore it's considered the person who's putting it there, the meat, it's his spot, and even Rav would agree in that case that it should follow the owner of the meat. So now the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Hillel Rav Ashi. Rav Hillel said to Rav Ashi, V'inu talu le lo shakil. But if the host had hung it, would Rav Chanim not agree that it's permitted to take it home according to Rav Huna? V'amar Shmuel, but doesn't Shmuel say that Shor Shal Pata Mareyu Kisharagle Kol Adam? We had this case before. The one who fattened in charge of animals, the oxes, and then they would give it out on Yantiv, so that would be like the feet of anyone who's buying it, because in Umdar Mukhach, that end of the day, you were planning on giving it over to that person. So that was the whole Shiloh. He said, doesn't that assume the Chorah that Shmuel's assuming of Brera? That was, we got into that before. But Etzim, what we see over here, that when once it's given over, it should be fine. So then why would the meat, okay, according to Rav Chanan, be a problem? There also should be like, it's considered his. So the Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina says, Ravashi, V'inu talule lo shakil. But if the host had hung it, Rav Chanan ben Hai would not permit it, the case to take it home according to Rav Huna. V'amar Rav Bachuna bar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha k'Rabbi Dosa. Halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Dosa, that an animal is going to be the tchum of the shepherd, even if the first entered physical possession Yom Tov afterwards. So we see that case of Dosa was before. We talked about Rav Dosa case where a shepherd is taking care of the livestock of everyone in town. It would have the tchum of everybody in the town. So if the case over here is then the meat that's hung for him by the host should also be according to Rabbi Chanina tchum. It doesn't matter who did it. At the end of the day, it should for sure be the owner of the meats. It should be the one whose meat it is. He should be the tchum that we're talking about over here. So the Amar said Lechanami. So there Amar Ravash Rav Kanan. That's correct. So it really should be no matter what. Even if the host hung it or if I hung it, it doesn't matter who is it. It always should be follow my tchum. It should be my meat. So the Gemara says V'inu talule lo shakil. So if the host hung it, we're say that it's not permitted to take it home to Ravuna Vatsan. We learn in the Mishnah, Behima Vakilim Karagla Bailim. The animals are tensor of the tchum like the feet of their owners. So why would the tchum of the meat be different Well, it doesn't matter who's putting it on. He's bringing another raya from it. At the end of the day, it should be the meat should follow Rav Chana Bar Chinai's tchum, and he's bringing raya for the Mishnah. Even the Mishnah would agree to that. So therefore, according to this, Rav Huna rejects it, and this is nothing. We're pointing out that this halacha actually has absolutely nothing to do with halacha of tchum, and rather a different halacha in Gantin. Elasheni Rav Chana Bar Chinai the Gavar Rabu Vitard B'Shmeisei. This actually is a halacha that's going to be in a moment. We'll see. It's based on the Gemara in Chulin, and Rav Chana is someone who's mamish, who's steiging all day, is busy learning all day. So therefore, he for him himself, it's going to be what's called Basar Shnes Ali Min Ha'ayin. Basar Shnes Ali, based on the Gemara in Chulin, there's actually two applications of it. Basar Shnes Ali Min Ha'ayin, the first case is more applicable, is in the case where a non-Jew is there. Everybody agrees that would be Asar. That's a big Shaila Bizman Hazeh. How is it that a person is allowed if a Goy is in possession of a... So that's why you need the double seal, right? That's why when you send packages with meat, it always has to be sealed if you're sending it over with a Goy. That's why all kashrus is, when you're getting a delivery, it'll always be taped up. It's like annoying to open it. It's not just Stam that they're doing it to keep it fresh. They're actually doing it for halachic purposes because of Basar Shin Salman Ayan. Same thing on an airline. It'll be wrapped up. They'll bring it to you already covered because if they open it and it's Goyim, let's say it's on United or something like that, that's a Basar Shin Salman Ayan. That's Mamish, the case. That's totally usher. Big Shiloh with housekeepers with Manazet. How is it you're allowed to leave your housekeeper in your house? So there's a Hetzar of Yotzev Nichnas if they know you're coming in and out. But if they know every single day you work 9 to 5 and you're never home, that is a very big Shiloh. Rav Shechter is very makbid about that. If you have cameras, Rav Shechter was assuming that unless you tell them and then it says it's uncomfortable, so it's Mamish, a big Shiloh. You should figure out how to avoid the shayla of Basar Shalom as an ayin if they mamish know your home. If you are coming in and out, that would be the best. Then they don't know when you are and when you're out. If you don't tell them exact schedule, you say it might be over this, it might be that, or then you mamish have yotzev nichnas, that'd be okay with goyim. So back to that everybody agrees upon, but there's another concept of Basar Shalom, even when there is no non-Jew around, that we're afraid that the animals, specifically ravens, are going to come swoop your meat and then switch it with the non-kosher meat that was nearby. Very far-fetched chashash, but that's a machlokas, whether or not you would have to be machber for that. So he was assuming that you do have to be machber for that. In that case, Rav Huna said it's usher because we're afraid of that's Basar Shalom and I have nothing to do with non-Jews around, but the fact that you might not notice it. So this is what he's telling him, why it's usher, because e talis, because if you hung the meat, then I don't have to worry because there's two reasons that I'm going to say that it's mutter. One is the fact that at the end of the day, you wouldn't let it out of your sight because you put it there. And the second thing, even if you did, and it would switch the meat, you would have noticed it because you're the one who put it there. Generally, when you put something somewhere, many times you'll notice what it looks like. So therefore, I'm not afraid of zucker. Then I can tell you it's kosher, you can take it home. However, if your hosts are the ones who hung it for you, then you have no idea what it looked like. And therefore, it's basar shalom and ayin, and it could be that animals mixed it up, in which case, we'd assume that maybe it's treif meat, and it would be asar, alts basar shus alim mina ayin. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says over here. Now, continuing the next Mishnah. In Mashkin Veshoftanus Midbaros, you're not allowed to water and shech animals that literally, that are Midbaros, that are wild animals, animals that are basically, the difference is that they're pasturing freely and they're extended beyond their tchum. The reason is because we're assuming it's Mukta, you don't necessarily shech them on Yantiv. However, Aval Mashkin Veshoftanus, it's a basis, the ones that are domesticated animals, then you can because they're near your house. You have in mind that you might shech them. Elan Bisis was considered domesticated animals. Halanos Pa'ir, those that pass through the night in town. Midbaros, Halanos Pa'afar, that those live far away, they pasture at night far away from the town. So the Gemara says, Lamanil Mimar Mashkin Veshochtan. Why does the Mishnah have to tell you that you're allowed to water and shech the animals when the point is that you're allowed to shech them? Who cares about watering? At the end of the day, it's definitely permitted to give waters even to your animals that are considered Midbarios because at the end of the day, it's mutter to feed them. That's what we learned already on Chafkim Al-Biz. The Mishnah over there tells us that you're allowed to water animals. So clearly, that's a different halacha. So why are you mentioning watering at all? It's all about shechting. So Gemara says, Milsa Gavorcha Gemashon. And there's actually another point that the Mishnah wants to tell us is the fact that Shakli Inish Behemto Vadu Lishchos, that one should first water animal, practical advice. The Mishnah is giving you water animal and then shecht it. Mishum Sarcha Demashcha, because at the end of the day, it'll stick to the hides. And therefore, when you're skinning them afterwards, when you're skinning after before shechting it, it becomes easier to skin it later if you water it. So the Mishnah is just telling you, it's a tova, what to do. It's giving you good advice, practical advice, that you should water it before you shecht it. So the Gemara says, Tanur, I'm curious, I don't know if that's Messias, what they do nowadays when they shecht animals, but either way, that's what Mishnah suggests. Tanur, Rabban, Elohim, Baisa. Elohim, Midbaris, Elohim, Baisa. This is the case of what's considered the animals that are wild. Again, not wild, it's the pasture outside of your house, and these are the ones that are considered domestic, that they're near enough to your house that you would consume they're not mukta. Midbaris, Kulchil, Pesach, Veroz, Be'afar. What is considered faraway animals? That they go out during the Pesach season. That means at the end of the winter, and they graze the pasture of Nitzvos Rav Yoshana, and they return during the first rain season. This Mamish now is very exciting. They're returning right now. They return during the months of Cheshvan, when we start asking for rain in Eretz Yisrael, which Mamish this week. Ve'lo and Baisos, and these are the domesticated animals. Kol Shiyotzus Rose Chutz Tchum, and they go out and pasture past the Tchum in the settled area. Vos Vulados Pesocha Tchum, and they come back and spend the night within the Tchum. That is the case of Midbaris. Rabbi Omer, Elo Ve'lo and Baisos, and no, those are both considered domesticated animals. Elo, these are the ones that are considered far out, the ones pasture far away. Kol Shiyotzus Rose Buffer, they go out grazing the pasture, but in the constitution, they never come back to the settlement. Neither during the summer months, nor during the winter months. That's the case according to Rebbe. So the Gemara says, "Mi isla the Rebbe mukta." But why would Rebbe assume that these cases are b'chlal mukta anyway? Isn't it going to be a problem? Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe mi Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe asked the case of Rebbe. Pitzile tmara la Rebbe Shimon ma. What's the case of if you have unripe dates of on Yantiv according to Rebbe Shimon? Now, normally, something which is unripe is maybe not necessarily fit for eating because you don't plan on eating them. You're not going to eat them. They use them so that the dates are stored in these baskets until they ripen. That's the case of, are these dates considered mukta mamish or not? So where it says, Amar Lei, Rebbe responded to him, Ein mukta Rebbe Shimon. These are not going to be halacha according to Rebbe Shimon. These are not going to be mukta. Ella grogos is the only one turning out the next one. When is the only case that will have mukta according to Rebbe Shimon? When it's a case of dried figs and razors. Again, that's your makatadas. You explicitly set them aside of something you're not going to be edible, because then once you do that and you set them aside, they're now mamish, not going to be edible whatsoever. These unripe dates, however, that's important, Chilak mentioned, and mentioned before, the Rashi puts this out, they're still edible. So at the end of the day, since they're still edible, they're going to be something which, at the end of the day, some people even eat them. So therefore, you don't intentionally make them muktzah. However, when it comes to the grogos and simuk, in those cases, you are setting aside, because mamish, nobody's allowed to eat, no one's going to be able to eat them when you put them out for drying. So that's, well, those cases are going to be muktzah. But the unripe dates here, which are edible, those would be something which are going to be, to not be mukta. So the Gemara says, so Lechora, he doesn't hold to the concept of mukta for that, so why would he hold the mukta over here? So the Gemara is going to suggest three answers. Ibai Sima, first answer is, Hani Namika grows with Tzimukin. We know these animals are considered like dried figs or razors because they're not fit for use, and therefore you sent them, you're sending them away by not having them, they're mamish far away. It's like you're sending away Makatadas mamish actively, and therefore that'd be similar to the case where nobody's using them, and you're actively making them mukta. In each case, Rabbi Shimon would be able to that it's going to be mukta. The Gemara now says, Ibai Sima, no, maybe Lidvarv the Rabbi Shimon Kamar. Rabbi was talking about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. We say, fundamentally, we saw this already many times. That at the end of the day, that there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and he holds that mukta is a broader application like Rabbi Yehuda, in which case he holds that it's usher. He's just answering what the case is according to Rabbi Shimon, but he doesn't hold of it, in which case that would not be a kasha from the previous the Gemara about that they should be mukta based on this mission over here. Or you could give a third answer. Rabbi was talking according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. According to me, I hold like Rabbi Shimon that there is no mukta. I hold the more limited version of mukta. These animals are not mukta at all. They pass, even the range of the animals that you send far away, that you pasteurize far away from your house, those are not mukta because you're not sending them aside actively. If they come near you, you'll shech them. But even according to you, who agreed to a broad avakish of mukta, you should agree to me that these animals that go out and graze in the pasture in Pesach and come back during the time of Cheshvan, those are going to be domesticated animals and therefore they're not mukta. So really, he's saying, I don't hold of it whatsoever. And I don't hold of it. It's not mukta whatsoever. These animals that you allow to pasture far away from your field are not going to be considered mukta. And the Rabbanan answered him, Lomid Baris, and these are considered range animals. These are considered animals that are far away, and therefore they're not going to be considered mukta. With that, we've just finished Hajjanach Nashilin, and then Sukkalach Maseches Beitza. Everyone should make a very big party, a very big siyum, as I always encourage. It is a very big accomplishment. Every Masech is a very big accomplishment. Rav Devin Sol Shita Zendel, this Rav Nun Sol Shlita, always in yeshiva, whenever he was doing anything, limud, whatever it was, as long as he wasn't giving a shir, he would always make an effort to come to every boy's siyum, to be mechazik the siyum, to give over the siyum. It's a very big thing, as we saw the Gemara in Shabbos. Be'er Hashem, we should be chayal chayav. Be'er Hashem, start Rosh Hashanah tomorrow, and have a wonderful day.